In the next piece that we hear, KBOO's Jenka Soderberg spoke recently with Valerie Carey, the sister of Miriam Carey, a woman who was shot and killed during an incident on Capitol Hill in 2013. We have this summary of the incident from Democracy Now! On October 3, 2013, African-American mother Valerie Carey drove to Washington, D.C. from Connecticut with her infant daughter. A U-turn at a checkpoint, followed by a car chase, led to Secret Service agents and Capitol Police firing 26 bullets at her car, eventually killing Carey. Her baby was unharmed. While the shooting deaths of Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown have sparked nationwide protests against police brutality, Carey's case remains shrouded in a fog of misinformation. Initial reports claim she rammed White House and Capitol barriers and that she tried to breach two security parameters. Those reports have since been proven false. Here is Jenka Soderberg speaking with Miriam Carey's sister, Valerie. And her attorney, Eric Sanders, about her sister's killing by Secret Service agents and Capitol Police.
We are joined on the line now by Valerie Carey and Eric Sanders. Valerie is the sister of the late Miriam Carey, who was killed on October 3rd, 2013 by Secret Service and Capitol Police in Washington, D.C. Valerie, I wonder if you could maybe start with reminding our listeners about the case of your sister, which was big news at the time and then quickly disappeared from the headlines soon after.
October 3rd, 2013, my sister Miriam was traveling in Washington, D.C., and she was shot multiple times to her back, and she was unarmed. She was traveling with her baby.
And most recently, it's come out that the Secret Service was in violation of their vehicle pursuit and use of force policies. Is that a finding in court now that they were, in fact, in violation?
I'll jump in at this point. It's not a finding. What happened is during the whole Stardust initiation of this litigation, there was never any talk about whether they violate any policy. Fortunately, I was able to hold their policies. And if you read their policies, it's very clear. You can't chase for a traffic infraction. You can't chase for anything but a felony. And Miriam Carey wasn't accused of committing any felony. And a misdemeanor, you can't chase for a felony. And if you look at their policies right there on the surface, they violate their own policies. They never should have pursued, Miriam Carey. There was no legal basis for it. And if you go further into their policy, it's very clear that you're supposed to assess who's in the vehicle before you initiate any chase. And moreover, safety is paramount. And they put it in big, bold letters. Safety is paramount. And we don't want you traveling 10 miles per hour over the speed limit. All these different variables, even if you look at the Department of Justice press release, you could clearly see they violate their own policies. So if they violate their own policies, then why weren't their criminal charges brought? Because those are willful violations.
And this comes in the midst of other scandals involving the Secret Service. Do you think it displays that the Secret Service has a culture of working outside the law and not following their own policies and doing it with impunity?
Well, we knew that from the beginning. And if you go back to the hearings on Capitol Hill, you'll see that. And actually, if you look at my press release, I addressed that very issue. Their own director said that they have a culture that needs to be changed because it deals with people who have alcoholism and engage in inappropriate conduct as law enforcement officers and even engage in illegal conduct. So that's not even a dispute. So if that's really true, then why wasn't Mary Carey's case given more scrutiny?
There are now two lawsuits against the U.S. Capitol Police and the Secret Service. Can you talk about those lawsuits?
Well, those are federal tort claims. Those are the initiation of what you call a prelude or administrative filing before you file a federal lawsuit. So those are still pending. And we're probably going to file another one because we're not going to stop until we get to full disclosure in what happened on October 3rd, 2013. So far, we have some information. We have some information as far as the shooting report, and you can go view that on and on the internet. You can see it on my website as well as the two tort claims, and you can clearly see there's things that they put in their press release that wasn't true. They misled the media as well because they knew from the very beginning there was a black woman with a ponytail driving with a baby in a car right at the first gate. They knew that information, and they lied about it. They also lied about why they discharged their weapons, because there was a clerk that was looking out the window of the Supreme Court, and she said when Miriam was backing up her car, there weren't any police officers near when they were discharging their weapons. They said something totally different in the media. They said she was trying to run officers over, which is not true.
So they have changed their stories multiple times, and in the days following the murder of Miriam Carey, they changed their stories several times at that time as well?
Oh, well, they changed their story multiple times. Now they're just completely quiet. And the unfortunate part about it is the public and the media is not holding government officials accountable. You know, government officials are accountable to the public. And so far it hasn't been done because, unfortunately, too many people bought into the red herrings of, oh, she's crazy and she tried to run people over. If you just analyze it from the beginning, you can clearly see, A, she didn't run anyone over, and B, they violate their own policies, which means if they never should have chased her, everything that flows from the chase is unlawful, including the use of force, because you can't put yourself in a position of using deadly physical force if you never had authorization in the first place.
And there was a baby in the car. I mean, that's absolutely unconscionable that they would shoot someone with a baby in the car. It's a miracle that the baby did survive. How did they try to justify shooting someone with a baby in the back seat?
Well, they didn't justify it. That's the point. All they did is say, well, there are no criminal charges. If you look at the press release, excuse me, and carefully analyze it, they're not even saying what the police officer did was justified. They don't even touch the issue. But if you go onto the website and look at the actual Metropolitan Police Department shooting report and look at the email, it's MPD161, and it clearly shows you that they had litigation in mind. They said, we're not going to talk about the issue of justification. It's clearly they were in collusion, the Department of Justice with the Metropolitan Police Department, the U.S. Capitol Police, and the U.S. Secret Service to not draw any conclusions because they know that if they draw the conclusions and show us the policies, we know they violate the policy, and not only could you have criminal liability, but you could also have civil liability.
And it seems from the day of that car chase and then shooting of Miriam Carey that the police, the Secret Service, were kind of panicking. They were in a panic mode. Do you think that's something that they operate under, and what does that say about their training?
Well, I don't think they were panicking at all. I think they were running on machismo. And I say that all the time with these police shootings. 99% of the time, and I've been involved in law enforcement a long time now, when they have these shootings, it's not about panicking. It's about machismo. It really is. And we need to stop excusing it as panicking. It's machismo. In this case, it definitely is machismo because it started out with her having some sort of interaction with this off-duty guy who wasn't even identified as a police officer. And with respect to the training, if you look at the press release, I addressed that very issue. They only received one training in 2013 and one in 2012, and I think the Secret Service agent received one. So in combined, they received no training. And for police officers to be carrying firearms, you would hope that the agencies would take the training a little bit more seriously than that. That just shows you the deliberate indifference to people's constitutional rights.
Wow. And I just want to ask Ms. Carey, Valerie Carey, sister of the late Miriam Carey, what you would hope that people know about your sister so that the real truth of her life and death can get out?
I would really hope that people would understand that Miriam could have been anyone. She was driving her car. She wasn't standing on a corner. She wasn't engaged in illegal activity. She was driving her vehicle with her baby. And if this is something that could happen to Miriam and the government is quiet about it and slow to react to it and negligent, and just pretty much covering up her death. If it can happen to her, it can happen to anyone. And this is not a good precedent that we want to set. We want to see justice. We want those who are involved to be held accountable for their actions. And we definitely would want the coverage of the truth to be out there, because in the initial hours of what happened, the mainstream media was more than happy to report allegations that weren't true, but not quick to report the actual truth, that she was unarmed, that she had no drugs in her system, that she was shot multiple times in her back, and that the officers involved clearly violated their policy.
And what role do you think race played in the shooting of Miriam Carey?
Well, I'm not quite sure exactly what role race played. My sister obviously is a woman of melanated skin. She's a brown-skinned woman. And the officers involved, because they have not been named, you can make an assumption whether or not that they're brown people or Caucasian. I don't know.
Well, I said from the beginning, in the position from the families, and from the beginning, that race plays a factor, because unfortunately there's been many studies done in police shootings, and race always plays a factor. So we know that already. How much a factor played in this, we don't know. But we do know that the shooting was unjustified. That we do know.
I understand that part of your lawsuit, you've also received information from whistleblowers inside of the Capitol Police talking about the deficiencies in training that they've received?
Well, I received two things. I received a letter from, anonymous letter at the law firm, from people who have proposed it, at least saying that they're U.S. Capitol Police officers, and they sent me a letter detailing what they said deficiencies, and for the Carey family not to give up in their quest for justice. And subsequent to that, I also received information directly from a former Secret Service uniform division officer who gave me the policies on the rules of vehicle pursuits, as well as the use of force policies. And I'm still having conversation with him, and I'm actively seeking other police officers from both the U.S. Capitol Police as well as the United States Secret Service Uniform Division. And I also have one of the officers' names. I'm just waiting for a confirmation on three more. So I have one of four so far. I'm confident I'm going to have the other three.
As the lawyer involved in pursuing this case, that information hasn't been provided to you as part of the discovery?
Well, there's no discovery yet because there's no lawsuit yet. But it wasn't disclosed as all these other police shootings because the Department of Justice made a conscious decision not to disclose this information. Somehow I think that they're taking a position that federal government are exempt from these public disclosure laws, but the states and everywhere else, they're going to Cleveland and St. Louis and Ferguson, all these other places. They're telling people, you need to have full disclosure. What about full disclosure in Washington, D.C.? There is no discovery yet because the lawsuit hasn't been filed yet.
So it's a federal tort claim that's going on right now?
Right, these are federal tort claims. But that shouldn't preclude them from releasing information. After all, the Department of Justice is going all over the United States saying how these police agencies need to be reviewed and have all this public disclosures and this shooting. Well, what happened to the federal government? They somehow exempted themselves.
You know, I just want to go back to one detail that you mentioned, Eric Sanders, in the actual day of the shooting, when there was supposedly a barricade that Miriam Carey ran through, when in fact you mentioned that this was an off-duty officer that that just sort of shoved something in front of her car?
Right. If you go back and look at the details, even the police are not saying this. What happened was this off-duty person, I'm assuming he's an off-duty. I'm sure they're being truthful about that. He decided in his infinite wisdom to try to block her car with this barrier. There are numerous witnesses, and the witness statements are, again, attached to that Metropolitan Police Department shooting report, even though I really don't think it's worth the papers written on because it's not objective. But there's some things that are actually good in it. There are numerous witnesses that said that she did not run him over. What she did was she tried to avoid the gate. He slid the gate in front of her. She pushed the gate with her vehicle. The vehicle, and in turn, the bicycle rack, which they keep saying is a bicycle rack, but really it's a metal police barrier, spun and then struck him, and then he tripped over it. So she didn't hit the barrier. She didn't run the barrier over, and she certainly didn't hit this person directly. He tripped and fell. That's a lot different than being assaulted, because if you look at the shooting report, they don't even accuse Marion Carey of even assaulting that officer. Let's take a look at the report. But unfortunately, people in the media, they have a tendency to want to believe the government version without really scrutinizing what they're saying and see if it makes any logical sense.
He apparently never identified himself as an officer either.
Absolutely not. He was in plain clothes. And, you know, the interesting thing about it, the two police officers that were at the scene that gave a statement never said he identified himself. That in and of itself is a major problem. That means he could not have been identified as an officer, which means she didn't run over an officer. She accidentally hit this barrier because he dragged it in front of her, and it very well makes sense that she was trying to get away from him because, as one of the witnesses said in their statement, this guy was having a cow. But meanwhile, she was driving normal speed, didn't run any red lights, and she was driving like any citizen on the road. And those are statements from witnesses who were tourists that have nothing to do with Marion Carey or the government.
And then, of course, during the media hype on that day, one of the other things that the media was reporting was that there was an officer down, an officer injured. Turns out that officer actually crashed his own car.
Yes. You're talking about the U.S. Capitol Police Office. He ran into the barrier himself. That's because they didn't use control. They didn't do the things that they were taught that police officers were supposed to be doing, have a control response. But then again, that's because they were engaged in sloppy policing, both agencies. So they caused their own series of problems, because if they simply would have just let her go because they had no legal base to chase in the first place, Marion Carey would be alive, and we wouldn't be talking about this case now.
As in so many cases, the initial statements by the police and by the government that are then repeated by the media at the time turn out to not be the case when examined later. I wonder if you could just tell what you hope comes out of these two tort claims and these, I guess, will turn into lawsuits at some point.
Yes. What I want to say, and then I'll let Valerie speak on her behalf, but what I'm hoping is that the media would really recognize the error and correct what was done here, because this case is in the public interest. It's something that should be written about and more people should really scrutinize. I'm hoping they clarify their accounts and bring scrutiny to this case just as all the other ones. The other thing I'm hoping for is that Loretta Lynch, the new assistant attorney, well, at least the new assistant, well, the attorney general, would reopen its investigation into the Marion Carey shooting and perform a full and fair investigation of including using the FBI as the investigators. And the last thing for Congress, using its constitutional power to investigate the cover-up in this case, because it's obvious there was a cover-up. To suggest anything otherwise would mean that the Constitution would just be a nullity, and anyone could actually be killed at the hands of the government, and there's no one that would be held accountable.
And you, Valerie Carey, what do you hope these tort claims and lawsuits will accomplish?
I would just have to concur with what Eric just said. That's my hope as well.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for joining us. Is there anything else that you feel that you would like to add, either of you, to what you think that listeners should know?
Well, there's two things I want to mention. And, of course, in doing this whole thing, we like to thank at least, WND, which was very instrumental in writing probably about a good 70 or 80 articles about the Marion Carey case, as well as the pending litigation in the district court trying to force the release of all the documents and videos related to the Marion Carey shooting, along with Judicial Watch. So I definitely like to thank those two organizations.
Is there anything else that you would like to add, Valerie Carey?
No, thank you. Thank you for having us. on your show to be able to bring some light and amplify my sister's voice.
Well, I want to thank you so much, and of course, my deepest condolences for your loss of your sister, Miriam Carey. Again, I have been speaking with Valerie Carey, the sister of the late Miriam Carey, who was killed in October of 2013 by Secret Service and Capitol Police in Washington, D.C., as well as Eric Sanders, the attorney with the Sanders firm, which has filed two